Please be seated. This past weekend, Lori and I went to Daphne, Alabama for a staff training program for something called Curcio. It's a ministry of the church. She and I will be serving on a Curcio staff in September, and I won't try to explain what all Curcio is in the course of a sermon, but let me just say that it is a three-day spiritual retreat of the church that truly is very fulfilling, but it's also a whole lot of fun. And it's sort of like summer camp for adults. And if you want to know more about it, ask me or ask Lori later on. But the weekend, in many ways, is designed to help people come to know themselves a little better, and as well as those around us, and in turn, maybe even know God a little bit better. With that goal in mind, there is a number of silly icebreaker activities and exercises that the attendees go through. And one of those activities in my former diocese is on the second day, where everyone is asked to go outside and to respond to a series of questions by going to one side of the street or the other. And it goes something like this. The leader will say, "Are you a Cadillac or a Volkswagen?" And then people, each individual, scurry to whatever side of the street they believe best reflects who they are. Then the leader will say something like, "Do you prefer the beach or the mountains?" Again, everybody scatters around. "A rose or a daisy?" Run around. "Scotch or beer?" Now, it's really funny there to watch people try to figure out how they can do both at one time. But each time the individuals go to the side that they feel most comfortable with. And occasionally the leader will ask an individual to explain their choice. And most times the decisions are made very quickly and without very much thought. And there's a lot of laughter as people try to decide which side of the street to commit to. And I guess the point of the icebreaker is this exercise, besides being an icebreaker, is to demonstrate how different we all are. How different we all are despite this common faith that we share. But then comes this question. Are you a Mary or a Martha? And every time the group hesitates for just a minute because people aren't sure which side to go to. And I think part of it, to be honest with you, is for many they just don't recall the story of Mary and Martha and may not completely understand the question. But for others, I think the hesitation is simply the fact that in each of us, there's a lot of Mary and there's also a lot of Martha. Now think about that. Are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you more like Martha, who is busy, distracted, and wants everything to be just right? Or are you more like Mary, who seems to ignore all that has to be done in order to sit at the feet of this man who is her guest? And I really think if we're paying attention, we'd all probably say we'd like to be a little more like Mary. After all, she's the one who Jesus says has made the better choice. We want to say that because we know that's the right answer. Mary wants to hear the word of God from Christ himself. And Martha, well, she's more concerned about how dinner is going to turn out. But the truth is, for all of us, there's probably more Martha in us than we'd like to admit. It's funny, though, during that Curcio exercise, as people are trying to decide if they're more like Mary or Martha, what happened every single time was that most people would end up standing in the middle of the road, more of them than ending up on the Mary or the Martha side. How very Episcopalian. And maybe that's the point. I'm not fully sure why this story is in Holy Scripture, but I'd be willing to bet that somewhere in there is a message about balance, about finding some sense of balance with the Mary and the Martha that exist in each and every one of us, and frankly, controls how we live our lives. I'm glad that there are Marthas in my life. Marthas get things done. And in our story, Martha is merely doing what was expected of her as a good host to an important rabbi who is her guest. Martha is simply trying to prepare a welcoming place in her home, a welcoming space to encounter the Word of God made flesh. What more noble pursuit could there be? On the other hand, Jesus, though, says Mary made the better choice. But the truth is, she is leaving all the work to her sister. Scripture doesn't tell us, but there were undoubtedly others in the house that night listening to Jesus. Most assuredly, most of those were probably men gathered around. After all, there was a free meal. And for Mary to be seated at the feet of Jesus with the men instead of serving them was absolutely unheard of. Martha had a right to be upset. But Jesus wants Martha to understand something. Of all the parts of the evening, the meal, the home, the gathering, the teaching, Mary has chosen the better part. I think that means that he's telling Martha that something special is happening in their home that night, despite all the work there is to do, and that no one should be reprimanded for wanting to spend a little time at the feet of the Lord. And this is where I'm supposed to bring the message home. This is the place where I'm supposed to say that we all need to be a little bit more like Mary. That we need to stop the madness and the busyness of our lives and slow down and get in touch with our inner Marys. I'm supposed to talk about how we need to get our priorities in order and distance ourselves from the insanity of deadlines, the long hours, all our financial obligations. We need to commune with nature, find our inner selves, and release our spiritual potential. This is where I'm supposed to say that the story of Mary and Martha is about choices, about right and wrong choices, good and bad choices. And I guess I'm supposed to say that because all of us, we like our Bible stories to be black and white, with clear choices and clear direction. That's what I'm supposed to say, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that's the message of this gospel, and I don't believe that's what God expects of us, nor do I believe that all of us are supposed to be like Mary. There is work to be done in our world. We can't just absolve ourselves of all the responsibilities and things around us that need tending. Martha knew that. Yet Jesus tells us that Mary, who sat at his feet, chose the better part. What do we make of that? And as is usually the case, I think maybe context will help us there. Because if you remember last week, raise your hand if you were here last week. I'm kidding. Remember last week, it was the story of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus reminds him that the law of the Lord is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, explaining what it means to be a neighbor. And then we read the story about Mary and Martha, which almost seems to contradict it. Those two stories are not put together by accident. Martha is without question a wonderful example of what it means to be a neighbor. But Mary reminds us that there are two parts to God's law. And Mary shows us what it means to love God with all our hearts. That's why Jesus says she picks the better part. It's not a value judgment. Instead, I think it's a message for us to find balance between the two, because a life of discipleship requires both. We must go and do, but we also have to find time to sit and listen. And we all know that's harder than it sounds. Now, I've told you this before, that I've never preached a sermon to you that I haven't first preached to myself, and this is certainly no exception. I let the Martha part of me get the best of me much too often. And you do too. Most of us let the Martha part of us command much too much of our time, our energy, our efforts. But amidst all of our going and doing, never forget that there is great transformation in sitting and being. All of us do need probably a little bit more Mary. But the truth is we probably need to work on our Martha sides as well. So many in our world, especially the spiritual world, think spirituality is about who can quote scripture the loudest, who think a right relationship with God is some personal possession that's always inwardly directed, yet seldom lift a finger to speak kindly, or much less do something kind for another human being. Our gospel lesson implores us to do both, to find a balance. It shouts with great clarity that one is not complete without the other. And whether we believe it or not, the world will not end if we seek time for that balance. The world will not end if we take a little time away from all our busyness and find some quiet time alone to get away from it all. The sun will continue to shine even if we close our offices early one day and go out to the beach and listen for God. The world will continue to turn, even if we say no or not right now, to a customer or a client because we've already got too much on our plate as it is. And the stars will continue to come out at night, even if we leave the beds unmade and maybe a few dishes in the sink, in order to spend time with a God who longs to spend time with you. The world will not end if we take the time to seek the balance between loving our neighbor and also loving God. The world, in fact, would become a much better place. And if you don't believe me, give it a try. God love you. Amen.